I trust we'll have something today that'll be a blessing and a help to you. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. John's Gospel. If you would please, and turn to chapter number 14. John's Gospel and chapter number 14 in the Word of God. I believe I could make it without these. I was standing upstairs with my boy yesterday, and he looked and he said, "Daddy, stand there a minute." He said, "Move your eye." And I moved on. He said, "You know your eye glitters? It twinkles?" I said, "Boy, I've got her made now." I said, "All I got to do is look over at Miss Hall with that eye and let it twinkle a little bit, buddy, and we'll have her made. Amen." That's right. Hallelujah. And if they do the other one, I'll really have it made. But right now, I'm doing well with my eyes. To be honest, I'm a little lopsided. This eye, when I shut my right eye, the left eye they operated on, when I shut it, you look real blurry. But I can look down here and read with no problem. But if I shut this, my left eye they operated on, I can see you just as plain as day. But if I look down here at my Bible, I couldn't read a word on it. I had to save my life. So I'm a little lopsided. Maybe my glasses are going to fix for me. We'll take care of that and fix me up. I trust it will. And they're going to do that sometime this month, the 19th or the 20th. They're going to fit me for glasses and discuss about maybe taking a cataract off of my right eye as well. And they said it was on the borderline. They could or they couldn't. Whichever one they decide is all right with me. All right, John's Gospel, chapter number 14. When you find your verse number 12, would you stand together with me? And we'll read the Word of God together this morning, starting in verse number 12 of John, chapter number 14. The Lord's speaking here, and to His disciples, on the eve, really, from chapter 13 to the end of chapter, I believe, number 19, is all the last day of the Lord's, the last day of the Lord's life upon this earth. That's a lot of chapters to be one day of His life, but I believe that's the way it is. And He's speaking to His disciples here. And He makes a statement in verse number 12. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Notice that statement, what He's telling them. I'm going back to the Father. And He said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, I'd love to preach from those verses. I've preached from them a number of times on prayer. And they're great verses. They're wonderful verses. They have a great meaning and a great promise. And we ought to cherish them because they're wonderful words of life to those of us that are saved by the grace of God. But He said in verse number 16, "and," a conjunction that joins what He's just said to what He's getting ready to say, "and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Amen. I may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's yield to Him in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the morning hour. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school time, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the singing we've enjoyed and the fellowship with your people, the prayer time in the office this morning. It's always a great time when God's people gather around the throne. And Lord, humble our hearts the best we know how to worship our God that loved us and died for us. I want to praise you this morning for your work upon Calvary and what you've accomplished there, Lord, for sinners like myself, giving us life that we don't deserve. That's grace, and we're grateful for it. Now, I pray that you'd show us grace this morning, and Lord, provide your power, your presence with us. Help us in a divine way. I do ask you, Lord, to save those in our midst that may be lost and without Christ. And there may be some that's troubled, some homesick, some bothered and grieved in some way, some heartbroken because of sickness in the family or because of problems or trials they're having. I pray that you'd help them this morning. Give them the grace they need, Lord, to get beyond this difficulty in their life. Then help the preacher. I stand in need of your divine power. May you fill me this morning and help me to preach the message with unction and with grace and great glory and great wisdom as well. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Now, I'd love to preach from all of these verses this morning, but I'll tell you, time wouldn't permit that. There's too much here to say, too much to cover in one message. But I do want to preach to you for a little while out of verse number 18 and the last five words in that chapter, in that verse. He said in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. And I'll come back and clarify some of this in just a little while in the message. But then he says, I will come to you. I will come to you. And that's what Brother Hall wants to try to preach on this morning with God's help. I will come to you. Now, these five little old words, just five words, as they fall or from the lips of our Savior, I really believe that they're worthy of our meditation and our deepest meditations upon these words. They're like honey in the honeycomb. They're sweeter than that honey in the honeycomb. For he said, I will come to you. Amen. Now, when you get a hold of that, I will come to you. How wonderful that is. If we can meditate upon that this morning in our own hearts, I'm confident that it will help us through this day, and not only through this day, but in the days that lie ahead, the hard time, the difficult time that we may have to face in the future, that God will help us because he said, I will come to you. Now, some men, and I want to mention these for you, there's men that disagree as to the occasion or the event that our Lord is giving reference to here. Some believe the Lord is referring to his second advent when he returns to rule and reign on the earth. And that is a fact. When he does come back to rule and to reign on the earth, he will come to you and I. And in doing so, he'll bring great comfort to our heart and life. There's no question about it. There's going to be, I'm talking about 7 years of very difficult time on the earth. Now, we won't be here, but there will be saints here that at his return and his rule and reign, they'll find comfort. But those of us that are saved and we've been with him in heaven those 7 years, we're also going to find that great comfort by his return upon this earth. Then there's others that hold to the idea that these words were spoken in regard to the rapture or to the catching away of those who have died in Christ, as well as those who are alive and remain at that time. And I think we'd all have to agree that when he returns in the clouds of glory, he's coming to us. He's going to come unto you and I. And in doing so, he's going to resurrect the dead in Christ. They're going to get up out of the grave, incorruptible. And then those of us that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, that's comfort to my heart. Amen. To know that my loved ones that have died in Christ, I've got great hope that they're going to get up out of that grave and we're going to be caught up together with the Lord and meet him in the clouds. Then those of us that are alive and remain, I've got great hope in the catching away of the redeemed. Now, I know that there's people that think that's a fairy tale. They believe that it's just a story to tell to make people feel good when you bury one of your loved ones. But I'm going to tell you, it goes beyond a story. It is a story, all right, but it's a story of redemption and love. And it's found on the pages of God's Word. And God said in his Word that he cannot lie. So we can take these to heart, these words that he's saying here, and believe that when he comes to us, that it's going to bring great comfort. He's going to comfort us. He is the comforter, and he's definitely going to comfort us. And then there's those who believe that this coming and comfort occurs when the Spirit comes to indwell us at the new birth. And, you know, there's no question about that. Friend, when I got saved by the grace of God, I found great comfort to my heart. My life was in a mess. I was living miserably. And my life was in a turmoil. I was constantly in trouble and out of trouble and back in trouble. But when the Lord saved me, I found great comfort from the hand of God. And when he opened up my blinded eyes, that I might see the blessing of the gospel and the power of the gospel and the grace of Almighty God. He that loved me being unlovely, yet he died on Calvary in my place. Now I'm going to tell you something. He came to me on that day. There's no doubt about it. On September the 13th, 1970, I can say that that verse of Scripture was fulfilled in my life when he said, I will come to you. He came to me. And in doing so, he brought great comfort to my heart and to my life. And then there are those who believe that this coming and comfort, I've done read that. But the truth of the matter is that all of the above are correct. Because he's going to come to us at each one of these events. And so they're all correct. Because he will come to his own at each one of these occasions. And his coming will provide great comfort to his children. But I want us to look at the context that these words are spoken in and try to draw some truths from it this morning that will help us for today. You know, it's good to know that when he comes, that we're going to find comfort. But we're living right now. And there's people here today that need help right now. Not 20 years down the road or 10 years. We need help and comfort right now for our heart and for our life. Now, at the time of his death, this was spoken at the time of his death, and the departure back to the Father was at hand. And he's telling these disciples that I'm going away, but I'm going to send another comforter unto you. And so it is spoken at the time of his death. And there's no doubt at the time of his death that these disciples of his were brokenhearted. They were bereaved. They were grieved. And they believed possibly as though that after 3.5 years of life here on earth with the Lord, that they may have even felt like that their heavenly master was preparing to abandon them, to desert them, and they'd be left all alone. And what he's saying is, I go to my Father, but I don't want you to be distraught. I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to find yourselves in distress, because I will come to you. And the way I'm going to come to you, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Now, I'm glad that he said that, because when he put that little word another in there, it means one just exactly like him. He had been a comfort to these men for 3.5 years on this earth. And he said, I don't want you to be discouraged in my going away, because I'm going away. I'm going to send you another comforter. In fact, the Bible calls him a paracletos, one called alongside to help. And what the Lord's saying is, just as I have been here to help you these 3.5 years, when I return to the Father, when I depart from you and return to the Father, the Paracletos will come. And just like I've helped you all these years, he is going to help you as well. Just like I've comforted you when you were in distress on the waters, when you were discouraged and felt like no one cared, I'm going to be here. The Comforter is going to be here in my place to help you through all of your problems and through all of your cares. Now, the verse gives him great assurance that though his tabernacle of clay would ascend back to the Father, that another Comforter would come. The Bible calls Him the Spirit of Truth. He said, even the Spirit of Truth, He will come. And when He comes, He said He will abide with you forever. Boy, and I'll say that, that is comforting words within itself. I've got to go away. But the one that I'm sending back will never go away. He will abide with you forever. And I don't know about you, but friend, when I'm so low that I can't need a stepladder to get on to tie my shoes, I'm glad that I've got one that will abide with me forever, that's able to stroke my heart with the grace of God and bring comfort to my soul. When I'm troubled, when I'm sick, when I'm ill, when I've got problems, I'm glad that there's one that will abide with me forever. I'm going to say this, and some of you are going to get upset about this, but I'm glad that even when I sin against God, there is one that is able to comfort me in my grief over that sin that will abide with me forever. Jesus said, I'm going away. Matter of fact, He said, because I'm going away, you're going to do greater works on the earth than what I've done because I'm going away. And I'm going to tell you something. Now, He didn't have many saved during His earthly ministry. But He hadn't been gone long till the Paraclete came back and Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and preached and 3,000 souls were saved by the grace of God. They were doing some pretty good things, some pretty good work. Now I'm just simply saying that we have got one today that indwells us, the Spirit of God, that is able to comfort us in all of our troubles wherewith we're able to comfort others also in their tribulation and trials that they have. Is anybody listening now? Y'all loosen up a little bit and help Brother Hall. Loosen up and help me. He said, as He had comforted them, protected them, and fellowshiped with them. Now get this. He said, these blessings, I'm going away. But these blessings would not be interrupted. Not for one moment. Now can you get a hold of that? They are broken. Because He's told them, I go back to the Father. I'm leaving you. But, hey, the blessings would not be interrupted. He said, although I'm going back, I'm sending you another Comforter. And it will be, the transaction will be so smooth that the comfort that I've provided for you will never, not for one instant, will it even be interrupted upon. You know, that ought to bring joy to our hearts this morning to know that. That's right. That there's no interruption in the comfort of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah to God. I don't care how far down the ladder we get, how sick we are, what's going on in our life. We may be broke flatter than Travis Clayton used. We may be broke flatter than a convent. And I'm going to tell you, we've still got the Comforter alongside. Amen. We may have just lost a loved one, but we've got a Comforter alongside to help. We may have a friend that is sick and in dire need of a doctor's help. But hey, we've still got the one called alongside to comfort us. We may be looking at dark days and troublesome times, and we are, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm going to tell you, the sooner we face that, the better off we're going to be. I'm going to tell you on the authority of the Word of God this morning. You look me right in the face now. I'm telling you that it is not going to get any better in the world. But I will tell you this, that the church can have revival. Brother Joel told on Nehemiah this morning, and Sanballat and Tobias and that crowd, they didn't see anything happen. Nothing got any better at all for them. But I'm going to tell you what happened to Nehemiah. They saw revival in Jerusalem. God sent them back to rebuild the walls, and rebuild the walls they did. They revived them. That Sanballat said, hey, will they revive these walls? Can they revive them out of a heap of rubbish and ruin? Yes, they did. God sent revival. You know what the devil is saying today in all his little imps? That crowd of little Baptists down there thinks they can have revival. They think they can have the power of God again. They think they can have the presence of Christ again. While they're all so low, they'll never have anything. Now, they're distraught. They're, They think that things are off, they're finished, washed up. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, on the authority of the Word of God, that as long as Christ sits on the throne at the right hand of God the Father, He can take a little church like we're in this morning and revive us by the grace of God, that we might once again rejoice in Him, that we can come in here and sing and preach and worship with joy in our heart, because there is one that indwells us that will abide with us forever.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Abide with us forever. Now stay right with me. Now, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, I want us to first of all to look at the grace that these words minister to our heart. Look at the grace that they minister to our heart. Look at the promise. I will come to you. Now, I don't know much about English, but when I went through Bible college, that I will was a positive affirmation. He didn't say, I might come to you. I will come to you. And that's a promise from God. And may I remind you that God is not a promise breaker. God help us. We live today as though every promise in that Bible can be broken to the believer. But I'm telling you on the authority of the Word of God, there is not one of them that can be broken. Not one of them ever has been broken. And not one of them will be broken. When He said there to these disciples, I'm going away, but I will come to you. That's exactly what He meant. And He did come to them. And as He come to them, He will come to you and I today as we live and serve Him here in this land below. I will come to you in your darkest hour. Amen. When you feel like you lost every friend in the world. When you feel as though nobody cares, I will come to you. When you're under the juniper tree, I will come to you. Amen. When you're living in that dark days, I will come to you. When your heart is broken, I will come to you. And I'll get to the message in just a minute. I'm meddling, trying to a little bit. But a promise. What a promise is that? I will come to you. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That's right. I remember when I was in Vietnam, I didn't write many letters. Didn't have time to. But I remember writing a letter to my mother. She wrote me a little note and she said, I'm looking for you to come home. But she said, I worry and wonder every day. She said, we watched the news clips and said, your daddy even thought he saw you on one of the news clips on television last night. And she said, there's times that I wonder if you'll ever make it or not. And I worry about you. Well, I didn't want her worrying. I just got me out a little piece of paper with a little short note. Said, hello, Mother, I love you. I want you to know I miss you. But I don't want you to worry about me, because I will come home. I'm coming to you. What were you doing, preacher? I was trying to comfort her. Amen. Did you know for sure you would come home? No. But I wasn't going to tell her, you're right, Mom, I'd probably die. Praise God, I'm a goner, sure as the world. I wasn't going to tell her that. You think Christ is going to tell us that this morning? Come on now. He's not going to tell you. That is a promise from God. I will come to you. I'm going to show you some areas in our lives this morning where He will come to you and I in a time of crisis when we need Him the most. He will come to you. Amen. And so there's the promise. Oh, what grace. What grace that brings to minister to our heart. And then I see the power of that, of those words. I will come to you. What power? There is, now, there's no power, there's no force, there's no one with the ability to prevent its happening. Somebody said, well, the devil can keep him from it. Hogwash. That's our problem today. We just got the idea today that the devil can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, can stop us cold in our tracks from serving God. There's only one thing wrong with that. It's untrue.
Right.
He said, I will come to you. And there's no power, there's no one with the ability that can prevent him from coming to you and I. When he sets his mind to come to where you are, he's coming to where you are, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe it. When he set his mind to go visit that little boy down in the hog pen, he went to him, didn't he? When he set his mind to go visit that widow and her son at Nain that was dead, he went to him, didn't he? When he set up his mind to go to the daughter of Jairus, he went, didn't he? There wasn't no power could stop him. And I'm telling you, there's no power that can prevent him from coming to you and I today. If he so chooses, if Christ does so chooses, he could descend on this congregation today in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and revive your heart and my heart and strengthen us for what lies ahead and put enough joy in our heart that we can leave here today with a spring in our step rather than having our lower lips dragging the ground. Amen. With carpet burns on our lower lips, we can leave here saying in our heart and rejoicing to the Lord because He visited His people again. Oh, I long for the hour and the moment, the time when Jesus will come and visit His people one more time. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, He will do it, ladies and gentlemen. He will do it. He said, I will come to you, and He will. Now, what power? Nothing can prevent it. Then I notice not only the power and the promise, but I notice the peace. He said, I will come to you. Verse number 27 of that chapter said, peace I leave with, peace I leave with you. I will come to you, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. And that's the peace I'm leaving with you. Peace I leave with you. Then he said, my peace I give unto you. Can you get a hold of that? Do you think that Jesus is troubled this morning? Do you think he's on nerve medication? Yes, sir. I don't. Do you think that he's worried about anything? I don't. He is at perfect peace about everything. And he said, my peace, the peace that I possess in my own life, that peace that I have, I give to you. Now, I'm going to say that's comfort within itself if we'll stop and think about it. That we have the peace. We've not only made the peace with God, but folks, we have the peace of God. Oh, Lord have mercy if we can get a hold of that. Thank God we made peace with God that day we knelt at the altar and confessed to Him that we were lost and unworthy of His love, deserving of hell or to be in hell, but realized that Christ died for us and called on His wonderful name and He saved us by His grace. We made peace with God. But now we have got the peace of God, hey, that passeth all understanding. I'm going to say, that's a problem today because most people don't understand much at all. And we're to have His peace that passeth all understanding. That is, He ought to give us understanding about everything in our life. And He will. He will. Now think about that peace, that promise, and that power. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Then He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then I think of the preciousness of that. He said, I will come to you. Not another, not a stranger. I will. I will. Not a stranger. I will. Now, folks, hey, He's getting ready to leave them. And He's telling them, hey, I'm coming to you. And they're probably scratching their head wondering how He's going to get this accomplished. But has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He doesn't have any problem telling them that. He is everywhere at all times. He is omnipresent as well as He's omnipotent and omniscient. Hey, He doesn't have any problem with that. I come to you. Yes, sir. I come to you. How precious it is. I'm not sending somebody else. I'll send another comforter. Now, and I'm getting ready to say that other comforter, and I want to say this, and I may be getting ahead of myself. I don't know what I got written down there, but I'll say this. He said, I will come to you. I'll send another comforter. He said, this body of clay is going back. Amen. But I'm going to send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm leaving in bodily form. But the Spirit of God is coming to you. Okay. And He's the one that will abide with you forever. I believe when the Holy Ghost comes to you and I, He stays there. Brother, even while we go to that grave and never leave this tabernacle of clay until God calls us out of the earth to meet Him in the clouds in the sky with our loved ones that have gone on before. Amen, Brother Hall. Amen. Then I look at the assurance here. He said, I will come to you. He didn't say I might. He might even say it's possible. But he said, I will come to you. Y'all look a little distraught this morning. Tighten her down a little bit. But we can't loosen her up. We have to. The assurance. Number one, the assurance that when He comes to us, that He will abide forever. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Amen. What assurance. Number two, He said in verse number 19, He said, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live on. He said, ye see me. What comfort. Hey, what assurance. Ye see me. And then He says in verse number 17, notice what it says there. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now what assurance. He's going to abide with them forever. They're going to see Him. They're going to know Him, according to verse 17, and they're going to live forever. Now that's some great assurance from that verse of Scripture. What a blessing. Now, to make application on this, the grace, when they are manifest to us, when He comes to us, when is He going to come to us? May I say, now I want everybody to listen carefully to me. May I say to you this morning that He's going to come to you and I. He's going to come to you and I in times of doubt. Yes, sir. Somebody told me one time that I've never doubted. I said, glory to God, I'm glad you haven't. Because I'm not quite that spiritual. There's been times that my faith has begun to waver. And I'm not only talking about doubting my salvation, I'm talking about doubting other things in my life. The working of God and what God's doing and what God wants me to do and how God wants me to do it. There's been times that I've had great doubt about that. But I'm glad that He said, I will come to you, and He will come to you when you doubt. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how do you know that? Because I know it in the Bible. The Bible said in John chapter number 20 and verse number 24, said, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto Him, we have seen the Lord. But He said unto them, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, His disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. The door was. Then what? Then came Jesus. I will come to you. Then came Jesus. Why did He come? He didn't come for the other 11. He came for one reason. There was one of them there that doubted that what He had done and accomplished was true and that He was who He said He was. We call Him Doubting Thomas. Can you get a hold of that? That Christ is even loves us enough that when we doubt His power, when we doubt His presence, when we doubt His ability, that He still loves us enough to come to us, when we doubt Him, and He comes for one reason, and that is to give comfort to our heart and life because we have doubted what He has said. He didn't come and rip out Thomas. He didn't come and bless God. I told you what I was going to do, you sorry low down devil. Don't you believe nothing ever tell? Oh no. He come to Thomas and said, hey, Thomas, do something. Here, sit here. Stick your finger in the print of the nail and thrust your fist into my side and be not unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas cried out when he saw that. Oh, Thomas cried out and said, my Lord and my God. Boy, hey, what did Christ do in his doubt? He came to him. He said, I will come to you. In your doubts, I will come to you. And he did. And he will you. If he did, Thomas, why wouldn't he come to you and I when we doubt? I wonder if the church will go on. I wonder what's going to happen. I can tell you right now what's going to happen. But I'm not going to until tonight. But I can tell you this. Let not your heart be troubled. And neither let it be afraid. I will come to you. Now, can you read between the lines or not? Come on in the house, boys and girls. Some of you like that and some of you don't. But I'm just going to be honest, whether you like it or whether you don't, don't make any difference to me. I hope you like it. I could say something, but I won't. I will say this, that I've been in this thing long enough that if somebody sticks up their head in the wrong way, I know how to cut it off.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He came to Thomas.
Yes, sir.
When he doubted the future. He doubted his own, what he was going to do. How he would get by. What would be accomplished in his life. Jesus came to doubting Thomas.
Amen.
You know what even bothers me about that? When Christ went out on the Mount of Transfiguration and ascended back with the angels into the clouds, their Bible said that some doubted. I believe old Thomas was there and still had a little bit of doubt. But do you know, hey, Jesus still loved him just as much. And I believe somewhere down the road he got a little more comfort.
Yes, sir.
He had to be there when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. And I'll guarantee you when he heard that mighty rushing wind and saw those cloven tongues of fire, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Thomas wasn't the first one to say, under the Lord, he's done exactly what he said he'd do. He has sent another comforter and he's here today. Hallelujah.
Yes,
he's come upon us today to comfort us.
Amen.
He has not left us alone. He is here to help us, to guide us, direct us, bless us, heal us, minister to us, labor with us, work with us, and bless us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. That's right. So in times of doubt, and in verse number 24 of that verse, verse 24, the Bible said, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came.
Amen.
Did he come to them or not? My Bible tells me that he did.
Amen.
And he came to them when they doubted. Then I want to say he comes to you and I in times of danger. Those disciples, and I preach from this, and so have many other men. Those disciples in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 36. They were out on that sea. Jesus told them to get in that ship and go. They were out on the sea, and the Bible said the wind. They were tossed with the wind. And the ship was almost filled with water. The Bible says about in verse number 25, Jesus went unto them.
Amen.
In time of danger.
That's right.
They think they're going to drown. But lo and behold, when they think that it's about all over, here comes Jesus one more time, walking on the water. I'm telling you, folks, hey, I've been down and out many a times.
That's right.
I'm telling you, I've thought many times it's all over.
Right.
But every time I think it's over, here comes Jesus one more time.
Amen.
Amen. Had a little old bride in Solomon chapter number 2. She was inside that little cottage of hers asleep. And she heard a strange noise. She heard somebody skipping on the mountains.
Amen.
Leaping on the mountains and skipping across the hills. And she looked outside the lattice of the window and she saw one in all of his glory.
Yep.
And the minute she saw him, the birds started singing. The flowers began to bloom. And he spoke and said, "Arise, my love! And come away with me."
Yep.
What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying Jesus came to her.
Amen.
When she was down. And Jesus, hey, Jesus will come to you when you're down.
Amen.
Not only when you're doubted, but when you're down. She was down and out of it. But Jesus came to where she was. I've been there. Have you ever been there?
Yes,
thought you had taken the last step you could take, went the last mile you could go. Cheer up! Praise God and lift up your eyes.
Amen.
One thing you can do is look unto the hills from whence cometh your help.
Amen.
The second thing you can do is lift up your eyes because your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Amen. You can also lift up your eyes and look to the throne. He's there.
Amen.
That's His wonderful name.
Amen.
In times of danger. You ever lived in times of danger? I have. I can name you several times when I was in Vietnam that I come so close to death. And I was a lost man. Had I died then, I'd have went to hell.
Amen.
You can believe whatever you want to believe. I do believe in the providence of God.
Amen.
Makes no difference to me whether you believe it or not. You don't have to. You can be wrong.
Amen.
But God knew what He was going to do with me. Do you think it surprised God when I got saved and got called to preach? It didn't shock Him.
Amen.
Not one bit. It didn't shock Him when I married my childhood sweetheart. It didn't shock Him when I brought 3 children into the world. It didn't shock Him when I come to this church. I told my wife in 1982 that God wanted me to pastor this church in 82. And in 1987, it came to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, listen very carefully. He'll come to you in times of doubt. He'll come to you in times when you're down. He'll come to you in times of danger. He'll also come to you in times of disappointment. You remember in Luke 24:13-35, when those disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Christ had been resurrected that day.
Amen.
They were so disappointed. In fact, when Jesus drew nigh to them, they made this statement that Jesus Himself drew nigh to them. Verse number 21, they were talking to Jesus. Said, "Why are you so sad and why are you so sorrowful?"
Amen.
They said, "He said, don't you understand? Are you a stranger? Don't you know what's happened around here? Hey, Jesus of Nazareth was crucified." And they said in verse number 21, they said, "But we trusted that it was Him that should redeem Israel." Brother, you talking about somebody being disappointed. They thought, sure, that He was going to restore Israel as a nation on that first advent. But they missed it, folks. By about 2,000 years, they missed the date. But Jesus didn't climb on them and fuss them out. No, He comforted them. He went along beside of them. And the Bible said, they said, "We thought that He was going to restore Israel at that time." And Jesus opened up the Bible and expounded the whole Bible to them, the whole Bible.
Amen.
About Himself up to this point and what was going to happen.
Right.
In other words, He let them know, "I'm He that came, and I did come, like I said, but I had to die the first time."
Amen.
"I had to die for your redemption."
Yes,
"but I died once to die no more.
Amen.
I am coming unto you again. And this time, the next time I come, it'll be to rule."
Yeah.
"It won't be to die on an old rugged cross. It'll be to rule and reign."
Amen.
What comfort He brought to them. Hey, they were so overwhelmed. that they invited him inside to eat. And you know, when he began to break that bread, and all of a sudden he departed out of their sight. And the one looked at the other and said, hey, did not our hearts burn within us when he broke that bread and began to pray? I'm going to tell you folks, hey, I've been in that holy place before. And brother, I know when it's Gary Hall praying, and I know when it's Jesus praying, he will speak words for you and I that we cannot utter, what the Bible said in Romans 8. I know when it's me and I know when it's him. And brother, I'm telling you, he got to praying to them two disciples. Brother Josh, and I'm telling you, they said, hey, did not our hearts burn within us? I'm going to tell you what Baptists need today is a little case of the heartburn. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about from eating too much either, but God, I'm talking about getting a little burning down in our soul from the presence of Christ dwelling there and blessing us and speaking to our heart and giving us the comfort that God has promised us in the book. You know what our problem is? We won't let him do that. We're like that old song, I can handle this job all by myself. I got news for you, you can't do it.
Amen.
Let him have his way with thee. Oh, let him have his way with thee. You'll find 'tis best to let him have his way with thee. Well, I'm telling you, when it comes disappointment time, he'll be right there. And friend, I'm going to tell you, I've met many disappointments in my life. And so have you. You've trusted that something that you've invested in would return a yield to you and it didn't. Or you've trusted in a friend that betrayed you. Or maybe you've trusted in a spouse that you thought would stay with you all your life just to find out that they didn't live with you very long at all, or they packed up and left. Disappointed. There's been many times I've been disappointed. I've taken jobs and thought, boy, this is the one for me, only to find out that it was a great disappointment. But I'm telling you, these men were disappointed. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, I will come to you.
Amen. That's right.
And in their disappointment, after his resurrection, he came to where they were and opened up that Bible. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if Jesus would just step here and say, preacher, will you? He wouldn't even have to say, if Jesus walked in here today, I'd just give him the platform. Here you are. Wouldn't we, and let him just open the Bible. He wouldn't even have to open it. He is the Bible.
Amen.
You don't have to read it. He's it.
Amen.
He is the Word, the living Word.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, he wouldn't say nothing if he was here in person. He wouldn't say one thing that is not written in this book.
Amen.
Because it's forever settled in heaven. And if he said he had come to us and comfort us, then we ought to believe him for that.
Amen.
Let your heart, not your heart be troubled, and neither be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I shall come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wherefore, hey, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Now may I say also, he'll come to where we are in times of discouragement.
Yeah.
You know, when he was crucified and buried, the disciples ran to the tomb. The women had been there and they said, he's gone. James and John got on their, my daddy would say, on Shaq's pony. They began to run. And John outrun Peter, but he stopped at the mouth of the tomb. And Peter passed him and run on in and saw that he was gone. And according to John's gospel, when they came out, those men, they went on to their house. But there was a young lady named Mary Magdalene that tarried behind. You know what? Hey, she was so discouraged. They went back. The Bible said Mary stood without the sepulcher, weeping. And Jesus, hey, just in time, here comes Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
If you've borne him away, tell me where you've taken him and I'll go get him. Jesus said, Mary. That's all it took was one word, Mary. She knew that voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. No man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now I'm telling you, there was a little prostitute, if I may use that word, and beyond a prostitute, that had gotten saved by the grace of God, that stood by that grave weeping, not knowing where her master was. By the way, she called him master. Stood there, worried, weeping, brokenhearted, and discouraged. But Jesus came right to where she was. Whoa! What grace, amen, was ministered to her that day. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'll come to you when you're in doubt. And I'll come to you in times of danger. And I'll come to you when you're down. And I'll come to you when you're discouraged. But I want to say also, he'll come to us in times of death.
Amen.
This same Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus that died. And they sent for Jesus. Jesus waited 2 days and then went to where he was, and he heard he had already been dead for 4 days. Do you think when they said he'd been dead 4 days, he said, I missed it. We're just going back. He didn't hesitate 1 minute. You know why? He had already said, I will come to you.
Amen.
Here's two sisters that's weeping over a loved one. Martha said unto him, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she ran to her sister Mary and said, the Master is come. I will come to you.
Amen.
Their brother was dead in the grave 4 days. And I said, he stinketh. He said, roll away the stone. Martha said, Master, he's been dead 4 days. By this time he stinketh. He said, did not I tell you that if you would believe that you would see the glory of God?
Right.
He told her that in verse 25 or 26. I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe. And there they are in the death of a loved one. Just like the little boy at Nain, Brother Steve. These two women are watching the tomb of their loved one that's already been dead 4 days. Brother Willie Walton called me yesterday morning. And he said, Preacher, this week is the week Tammy died. Said, I visited her grave yesterday and sat there for 4 hours. Said, I know she's not there. But he said, I find such great comfort. When I go there, I find great comfort for my heart, because I know that one of these days, the Spirit of God that
Amen.
Went into that grave with her will speak the blessed words. Come up hither and she will get up.
Amen.
He said to me, it'd be a wonderful thing to be sitting there when God said, get up.
Yeah.
And she come up out of that hole in the ground.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, he'll come to you in a time of death. And we're all going to face it. If we haven't, we will.
Amen.
We will. We'll face it. A loved one's going to die.
Amen.
As sure as we're living. Some of us have and some of us that haven't will. But I'm going to tell you, it's good to know that when we die,
Amen.
That Jesus will come to you. Now I'm going to close with this. And I didn't even have this in my notes. But when Brother Gray got done this morning, he was so brokenhearted, I thought I would add this. Didn't think of it till then. But I thought I would add this about the Lord Jesus. And he was brokenhearted about what happened in a camp meeting recently. And justly so, we ought to be. But I want us to be careful. And I say this kindly. And I say this lightly. We want to be careful when there is a division in the ranks.
Amen.
We want to be careful. And there's nothing wrong with being brokenhearted. Don't misunderstand me. But I want to read the words of the Lord Jesus. I didn't write this. He did. He said, suppose in Mark 12:51, he said, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. Now that hurts a lot of people. And I'm going to tell you, can I tell you this? He's come to give peace in hearts. But He did not come to give peace on the earth. He's come to give division. And I know sometimes we get all upset, but I'm going to tell you, and most times we're blaming on the devil, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes when division takes place, it's not always the devil that's done it. We better get the mind of God. That's what I intend to do. I'm going to pray and get a hold of God. I want to find out what the truth is in this matter. I'm not going to make a judgment, right? I'm just telling you the fact that He said He come to send division on the earth. And sometimes when there's a division in the ranks, it's not the devil that done it. If there's no division in the ranks, how is He going to bind the tares and bundles to be burned and then gather His wheat into the barn? There's got to be a division. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm not going to explain it no deeper than that. I said I wouldn't. I'm just telling you, we better be careful. Better get a hold of some things and check some things out. But I can assure you of this. In the division, Jesus will be there.
Amen.
Barnabas and Paul separated. Jesus was there.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do you know He was? Because later on, He made the statement, said, bring Mark with you. He said, they got in an argument about John Mark. He said, bring John Mark with you. He's profitable for me now for the ministry. Well, I'm saying, He said, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless.
Amen.
I will come to you. And folks, He's telling them that, I think, basically, in their life. He's coming, true, on all those other areas I mentioned. But in times of your life, when you need Him most,
amen,
I will come to you, He says. You believe that this morning? I believe it. With all of my heart, I believe it. He said He wouldn't leave us comfortless. And I don't believe He will. He'll come to us. He'll come to us. He'll help us. He's God. Let's stand together.